You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, Spiffy and Spectacular Sparky Spotters. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 114, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your stellar and stupendous statistics stalkers.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Wait, we're statistics?
Like, we like to stalk statistics.
Stalking. Okay, we're not part of the stalker statistics.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh,
sure. All right, fine. Yeah.
We're like peeking through the window on statistics.
Right.
Okay, let's not dwell on this.
I know, right. Let's not take it too far.
This metaphor is getting increasingly creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so excited for our fan meetup.
Yes!
That's coming up in just a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars.
We had our Las Vegas meetup, and now we are going to have our San Francisco Bay Area meetup. We had people who live in the San Francisco Bay Area who went to the Vegas meetup, which kind of made us feel like
they're coming.
Oh, they are. Wonderful.
Cool.
That's great.
I would feel really lame if they couldn't make it to one in their hometown.
Should have
coordinated with them.
I'm glad they can make
it. So we think we have a lot of people who are in the area who are going to want to come to this, and so we've got a great venue. It's actually where we do our pub trivia, the Soma Street Food Park. In addition to food trucks, they have a school bus on the property, and you can rent that out, and we did. And they take out all the benches, so
we're not going to be facing the same direction.
It's like being on a field trip. You got to hang your shoulder over the elbow over the side, and the cool kids sit way in the back. You know,
we're gonna have goodies and prizes for people as well. Check out our site for more info. Make sure you RSVP.
And it is all ages friendly.
Yes,
certainly
all
is.
Ages.
Yep.
And
you don't have to be in the school bus the whole time.
Yeah.
No. There's a deck that they built. It's really cool. And there's a lot of seating, and we have that whole area. But of course, you're free to leave. You know, you're free to go out and get food, come back or mingle or whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah. Tyler's going to be there too.
Tyler Hinman will be there. Yes.
Our puzzle
championship.
Oh, a laundry list of celebrity attendees. Pretty much just Tyler.
celebrity.
He is.
He really is.
No, he is. But I mean, that's all of our celebrity. Like, our ones.
That's it. We called all of our celebrity friends.
Yeah. That one. So that is July 6th on
Sunday.
So make sure you RSVP.
Get all your 4th of July partying out of the way that Friday and Saturday. And then come decompress with us.
Yeah. Hang out.
Very chill.
We'll answer some questions. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right. And without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Oh, this one has a picture. I have to find a new question. All right. okay. Here we go. You guys got your buzzers. I have my Trivial Pursuit cards. Here we go. Blue wedge for geography. What is the only U.S. state with a one-syllable name? Everybody.
Maine.
Yeah.
Maina.
It's Hawaiian.
Maina. Yeah.
All right. Pink wedge for pop culture. Dana. What TV series generated the ominous warning, "Resistance is futile"?
Doctor Who? No. I always mess it up.
Is this Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yes, it is.
It is.
TNG.
Okay. Oh my god. It's the Borg.
It's the Borg.
All right. Yellow wedge. In 2009, California officials shut down an 8-year-old entrepreneur for operating what without a business license? Everybody.
Lemonade stand.
Yeah. There's a note here. She was hoping to earn enough to go to Disneyland.
Oh, it is.
Wait, so you need a business license to sell lemonade?
Technically,
yes. Technically, you cannot legally just start selling food products on the side of your house.
Okay.
But it's, come on.
But
it's the kind of thing.
That should be a legal principle that you'd be able to argue in court.
You're like, come on.
Yeah, Your Honor, come on.
Let's go to Disneyland. All right. Purple wedge. What notable fashion designer is the daughter of a Beatle?
Oh.
college.
Stella McCartney.
Wow, I did not think you boys will get this.
Colin's backup.
We had the Mario Mel.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a picture question. It's like, what triangle is this? And it's an equilateral triangle.
So. Oh, I was hoping it was a saucer.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay. Replacement green wedge for science. What does USB stand for?
USB?
Universal Serial Bus. Ugly school bus.
Look at each other.
Yeah, there's lots of eye contact. And then they're chancing it together. It's
well, I don't want to get it, you know, so we're
match simultaneously.
It's like a little, it's a game within a game within a game.
I forget what I was going to say. And I'm just like,
mesmerized.
Yeah.
All right. Orange Wedge, last question. What did Muhammad Ali call his strategy of leaning against the ropes until his opponent exhausted himself? Everybody.
Rope-a-dope. You both looked at me. I felt
well, you
like,
were going to say it too. So
I know. I felt the power that I...
right.
Rope-a-dope.
So it was like an equilateral triangle, Karen.
It was.
Yeah.
All right. Good job, brains. So this week we are continuing our series of How to Prep for a Pub Quiz. Last episode, we had some insights, some history and factoids about pubs, pub quiz, things we study for, topics that are our strong suit and whatnot. So today we're continuing with our How to Prep for a Pub Quiz Part 2. Mr. Know-it-all, well, you think you know it all, but you don't know a thing at all, ain't it?
And it's something, y'all, when somebody tells you something. All right. So I made you guys something.
Uh-oh. Do we want to see this? Yeah.
It's, take it with that spirit. I made you guys something.
Right, okay.
So I looked around the internet. I was trying to find a mnemonic for the 12 Olympian gods from Greek and Roman.
Man.
There are no... I could not find any mnemonics for it. Okay. I saw lots of questions like, I can't remember it. And they're like, you just have to memorize it. And I was like, that's not a mnemonic, you guys. I wrote kind of a mnemonic. It's all puns.
All right.
Okay.
It's all puns.
So I don't know.
Yeah, what are we memorizing
Maybe
here?
I can list all 12, but what trips me up is the Greek name versus the Roman name. I can never remember what's
okay.
What.
Oh, okay.
So here you go. I wrote a story where I've cleverly sometimes integrated their names into the story. Sometimes not that cleverly.
Okay.
Whatever. It was made with love. It was made with love. I think you'll remember it. The order. Basically, in each sentence, whenever their name comes up, it's first the Roman one and then the Greek one.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Even though chronologically Greek came before Roman.
Okay.
It just made the sentences work better when Roman
just
came
go with it. Let's just go with it.
So you're going to read us and we're going to point it out.
Yeah.
We're going to find the pun.
I think.
Oh, it's like scavenger hunt.
It's like scavenger hunt.
All right.
They're a little bit tortured, but now I know them very well. Like after.
All right. Let's do this.
All right. Well, first of all, you better start with Zeus. He was the king of the Olympians.
So,
Jupiter,
start with Zeus.
Yeah, Jupiter and
that
Zeus.
That movie, Juana Man.
Yeah, it is like
Jupiter. Jupiter start with Zeus.
Yeah,
right. Jupiter and Zeus. Start with
Zeus. And then that's Jupiter, Roman, Zeus, Greek.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. He ruled there with his wife, Juno Hera. She's the goddess of marriage.
So it's Juno and Hera.
Yes.
Juno Hera.
Yeah.
She's goddess of marriage.
Yeah.
Right. Juno.
Their sister, the goddess of agriculture and seasons, grew a series of crops for people who like to eat. You know, Demeters.
Oh, that's good. Wow. So it's series.
Series.
Yeah. And then Demeter.
Yeah.
Series Demeter. And that's Roman Greek.
Yeah.
A series of crops for people who like to eat, you know, Demeters.
Yeah.
And she's the goddess of agriculture.
Demeters. Yeah.
Hey, that one's good.
Yeah.
Thank
you know
you.
What? That's good.
Thank you.
And this one is bad.
This is less good. Sorry. It's hot in here. All right. Their brothers sang an inept tune because he was under the sea, probably Poseidon a seahorse.
Wait, say it again.
Okay. Their brothers sang an inept tune because he was under the sea and probably Poseidon a seahorse.
Poseidon a seahorse?
Poseidon?
An inept tune. Because he was under the sea.
Yeah.
Neptune, Poseidon.
Yeah. And Poseidon was also the god of horses.
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
Right.
When the goddess of wisdom was born from Zeus's head, fully grown and in armor, he exclaimed in a terrible Italian accent, "Ah, Minerva's! Athena, she's coming out of my head!"
I like you had to clarify.
It's
Minerva.
Athena, she's coming out of my head.
Minerva.
Yeah.
Athena. All right.
Who sprang fully formed from the head of Zeus.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Wait, what's Minerva? Like, my nerves?
No, yeah. I'm a nervous.
I'm my nerves.
My nerves.
Athena's wow. My face hurts. Okay.
Zen. Of course, there's Diana, quite the Artemis, goddess of the moon, hunting, virginity, and animals.
So, Diana and Artemis. Yeah. Quite an Artemis.
Yeah.
Her twin brother doesn't apologize for his sunnier disposition as the god of light, healing, and poetry.
Oh.
And so this is a trick because Apollo is Apollo in both. Yeah.
Yes.
Ah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know there were twins.
And they are twins. Oh, yeah. Okay. One is the goddess of the moon and one's the god of the sun. Yeah. All right. So here, this gets a little tawdry, but here you go. We can't forget how the god of war mars the whole family. Ares caused quite an inconvenience when he had an affair with the goddess of love, Aphrodite.
Okay.
And it was pretty sad that even though her husband was fiery like a volcano, when he faced us, the god of blacksmiths and craftsmen just wasn't as glamorous as the god of violence and bloodshed.
Okay.
So there are three gods. So,
wow, okay.
Mars and Aries. Roman, Aries, Greek.
Yeah.
Venus, yeah. Roman.
Aphrodite.
Greek.
Uh-huh.
Vulcan, yep. Roman.
No.
He faced us.
Oh,
Hephaestus.
Hephaestus?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
I'm not familiar with that word.
Vulcan and Hephaestus. And that's Lord of the Underworld? Is that what that
no.
is?
No,
that's Hades. He's just blacksmith and fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and craftsman. Yeah, and she had an affair with the god of war.
Mars,
love and war.
Ares.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a non sequitur. It's not a good one. Mercury? Hermes Cincher asked...
Wow.
Okay. Somebody else help me with that one.
More curry, her messenger asked.
More curry?
Yeah.
You want more curry?
Right. Mercury and Hermes.
Mercury and Hermes. Yeah. Okay.
He's the god of messenger. He's the messenger of
the
gods.
Messenger of the gods. So yeah.
Hermes.
So he's her messenger. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't. All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to let that one go. We'll let that one go. All right.
Okay.
If somebody comes up with a better one.
Her Mercury?
Mercury. I was like, Mercury.
I'm
get it.
I'm curious to find out what her message said. I'm more curious than you to find out what her message said.
I'm more curious.
More curious.
Yeah, that's good. I wish you were around this morning. I
spent this morning
figuring it out. Yeah. Okay, and then the last spot is sometimes split by these two. Some people in Vesta and Hestia, the goddess of the hearth and home. And some people don't like to party, but back us up. Why dine on Isis when there's delicious wine?
All right, so that was Vesta and...
Hestia.
Vesta and Hestia.
Vesta and Hestia. And then Bacchus and Dionysus.
Yeah.
What was the Bacchus? Bacchus
up? Bacchus up. Why dine on Isis when there's delicious wine?
Right, dine on
Isis.
When there's such delicious wine.
And he's the god of wine. Yeah.
All right.
And then Pluto or Hades. So Pluto's not a planet, and neither is Pluto/Hades part of the 12 Olympian gods, because Hades was the god of the underworld, and he didn't go to Olympus.
All right. Like the planet.
Yeah. He was related to the rest, but
he's
the planet. He's
on
Mount Olympus.
Oh. Yeah.
It's good that Pluto's not a planet anymore. That really drives that one.
It worked it out. Yeah.
That's great.
There you guys.
Wow.
All right. And we'll put that up on the website, of course.
Yes,
In case you, for that small percentage of you who didn't get it all the first time.
We're going to put it up in 16-point text with a MIDI file in the background.
Lots of notes and parentheses.
Oh, yeah, like annotations.
I think it was more fun, to find That was the segment. It was like, oh, if we can hear it.
Yeah.
All right. And of course, I asked our listeners on Twitter and Facebook about their winning tactics when they play pub trivia. I'm going to share some with you guys. James Pound wrote in and he said, I'm a quizmaster myself. And one of the biggest strategies I've seen winning teams use is writing down the questions.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Some teams do that. We personally don't do that. We write clues.
We take notes. Yeah, kind of abridged notes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you become familiar with what words they're using or they don't use.
Well, I remember at our old pub quiz, like there was a difference if he would talk about a musical band versus a group. Like his shorthand, we came to realize that band meant they played instruments, group meant they were singers.
Right. Yeah.
Extra layer of clues there.
Yeah. Of singers.
A lot of people wrote in and their advice is to trust your gut. I think personally for our team, that doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, you have to know your style.
Yep.
But like psychologists have shown like that whole, you know, the idea of, oh, your first instinct is usually right. Like that's not actually true.
No.
Yeah. But the flip side is we do this a lot. You can overthink things as well. You got to know yourselves. Mm-hmm. You got to know your team.
Yep. And you have to, you never, ever, 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 ever want to get to a point where it's like, oh, I thought that, but I didn't say it.
But I didn't say it. Oh, yeah. That's a lot of people wrote in. Neville Fogarty says, always say what you're thinking, even if you think it might sound dumb. It may trigger something else for someone.
That's
true.
He
has a really good name, by the way.
Neville Fogarty.
I like that name.
It's like a Harry Potter
name. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That is a great rule. I think like if you had to pick one rule,
never
that might,
censor yourself.
Yeah.
This Neville Fogarty singing Creedence Crookshanks Revival.
Nice.
Wow. So many layers.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and CCR.
Importantly, Neville, it's absolutely right. There's been a lot of times where we've just been like, oh, is that? No, it's not Spaceballs. And then somebody else would be like, no, it's not, but it's Blazing Saddles. You know, it's like, it's they would never have gotten the right answer had they not heard you say the wrong answer that was sort of close to it to get them the rest
trampolining.
Of the way.
Trampolining, yeah.
It's
did you just come up with that term? I like that. Trampolining.
I think of trampoline accidents when you say that. I'm like, you fall off.
Wall jumping.
As we've said, you can't spell pub quiz without you and I.
Yeah.
Or PU.
Yeah. Right.
Depending on how you're feeling that day. Every now and again, we get video game questions.
Yes!
This usually happens when we're already up by 5 points. It doesn't matter. We keep our fingers crossed for video game questions when we're going into the last round and we're like down by like 3 points. You know, it's like, all
trying
right.
To Slumdog Millionaire.
Video game round. And so everybody always looks at me for the video game. Even though we're all from the video game industry, everybody always looks at me for the video game questions.
You've written two books about it.
Well, I have, trivia nerd. So I wrote down a couple of things just for everybody, because they don't really ask a whole lot of really deep video game questions.
Yeah.
It's typically all sort of centered around like the beginning of the video game industry and stuff like that. So here's a couple of just things to keep in mind. The first commercially released arcade game was not Pong.
Okay.
And it was not even made by Atari. It was
Space Wars?
It was based on Space War, which was a computer game they played at universities on big mainframes.
Arcade.
Yeah. So first arcade game, Computer Space. Computer Space. Hey, it was the Wild West. They could name it whatever. You know, it's like there were no names were taken. It was high concept.
No names were taken, but they picked that one.
They picked that one.
Sure. Right.
Computer Space, 1971.
Wow.
Okay.
First commercial arcade game. Released by Nutting Associates, Nutting. Now, the guys who worked on it were Nolan Bushnell and Ted Dabney, who were the founders of Atari, but they were working with Nutting Associates to make Computer Space. Then it wasn't successful, they left.
Okay.
This predated the first home video game system. And then, of course, the second arcade game, which was released in 1972, was Pong. Right. Okay. First home video game system was not the Atari 2600. It was not Home Pong. It was not anything by Atari. It was the...
Oh, we've talked about this before.
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Magnavox Odyssey.
Odyssey.
Magnavox Odyssey was the first home video game machine.
How much did it cost?
Like $100-something dollars. Okay. Yeah. But they didn't want it to cost $100. They originally spec'd the machine out, the inventor Ralph Baer, so that they could sell it for $20.
Oh.
But Magnavox added it. If you buy an Odyssey, it comes with like, it's a black and white piece of hardware, but it comes with like color overlays, like acetate that you like put on your TV to simulate a background that's in color. Huh. And it comes with, there's games you can play with playing cards, and you can play, there's poker chips, and it's a box full of junk. Mm-hmm. And they basically over-engineered it and they sold it for $100. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why it kind of failed, but they really wanted it to be super cheap.
Their marketing game was just off. Let's make this super expensive. Yeah.
Well, there were also kind of rumors that, like, because at the time, televisions, like, if you want to buy a Magnavox television, you probably went to a store that was like a Magnavox store, mm-hmm. you know? And then you had the salesman probably trying to sell somebody the video game system and saying, oh, now, like implying that it wouldn't work unless you owned a top of the line Magnavox television. Right. Also, right. It was a mess. Yeah. And that was released in 1972, Magnavox Odyssey.
Okay.
Atari did not release Home Pong, the home version of Pong, until 1975.
Oh.
And it was at first it was through an exclusive partnership with Sears.
Mm.
Mm. It was released for Christmas 1975.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Atari didn't have the money. They were a little startup. They didn't have any cash. The first programmable video game system, the first video game system that used cartridges that had ROM chips, that had computer code, you know, a program written onto them, was not the Atari 2600. It was also not by Atari. It was the Fairchild Video Entertainment System. Sometimes later on it was called the Channel F. It was by the company Fairchild.
And they had cassettes or cartridges that you put in.
Yep. And the Odyssey had, like, you could take out a cartridge that was like cartridge number one and like put in cartridge number two to play a different game. But all that was just sort of a series of connections that like told the Odyssey, like, move the dot here versus move the dot there.
It's all in the machine.
There's no program. Like, the Odyssey is like, it's all done with like hardware, you know, but the Fairchild Channel F actually, you know, you wrote computer code, you know, go to line 10, stuff like that. Like, that was what it was. There's a really interesting, this will never come up in trivia, but I still find this fascinating, and at first for arcade games. There was a game that was made by Taito in Japan, which made Space Invaders, and actually it was made by the guy who made Space Invaders beforehand. His name, incidentally, was Tomohiro Nishikado. They will never tell you to write that down in trivia, but it was called, in Japan, Western Gun, and it was two cowboys shooting at each other. Midway licensed the game for the U.S., as it did with, like, Midway licensed Pac-Man from Namco and brought it to the U.S. They licensed this game. They brought it to the U.S. They called it Gunfight. And so the game Gunfight, they totally redid it. And the first about the U.S. version of Gunfight, it is the first arcade game to use a microprocessor. There is an Intel 8080 microprocessor in there. And this is the first arcade game to use one.
Huh.
Again, probably won't come up. I still find it really fascinating. A little bit about the Nintendo. The Nintendo Entertainment System was released in 1985. In Japan, it was known as the
Famicom
or Family Computer. It was released in 1983.
So 2 years prior.
But Super Mario Brothers was released globally in 1985. So, same year in Japan and the U.S. In Japan, that means they had the Nintendo for 2 years.
Without
Super Mario Brothers. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
I know, it must have been very sad.
Yeah. Cool. That's like last round trivia, right. Video
Atari
games.
Atari very rarely did the first
of anything.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the first, you just need to be the best.
You'd be surprised at how sometimes, we've never had this, but like if you're playing bad trivia, somebody might say, question number 7, what was the first arcade game? You know? And then they're like, it's Pong. And it's like, it's not Pong.
You're wrong.
You know?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick ad break. A word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Job Brain this week. We're helping you prep for pub quiz. So we've said about the meetup, we currently play at the Soma Street Food. But before, years and years, we've been playing at this pub called Elephant and Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant Castle is stylized to be like a British pub.
Yeah, I don't think it's part of truly authentic.
It's part of a franchise. It's in Seattle. It's in Vegas, I think. It's like a thematic kind of restaurant place. But they serve beer. It's very pub-like. They have pub food.
A lot of Guinness signs on the walls.
And, after 5 years, we kind of memorized their menu. And so I want to quickly talk about pub food. Because that was so integral to our pub quiz going experience. And some trivia about some notable pub dishes. Pub food, now we think about, it's like steak pies and fish and chips and all that stuff.
Shepherd's pie.
Yeah, but before that, it wasn't. It was just light snacks. Bar bites. The original kind of public house pubs.
Crackers. Right?
Crackers, cheese. Maybe like pickles.
Nuts.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it wasn't until the invention of the microwave and freezing technology that they're able to actually serve food and like a wide variety. And so now your home British comfort food that you eat at home now is now being able to be served up at pubs instead of just like your usual light bites and stuff. So you mentioned bangers and mash. My burning question I had all these years, why are bangers called bangers?
Mm.
Bangers and mash is pretty much sausage on mashed potatoes.
Right, right. Mm. And the second half is pretty clear.
Yeah, mashed potatoes. Bangers?
Mm-hmm.
Why are sausages called bangers?
I don't know. I just imagine the sausages banging into each other. I don't know.
close. So there is a historical reason why bangers were probably called bangers. Some say that it started in World War II, but people have been using this term since the late 1800s, early 1900s. And the term bangers is attributed to the fact that sausages, during World War II, they had the ration, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the sausages were stuffed with extra water and fillers.
Okay.
And so what happened is when you cook the sausage under high heat, it would explode and cause a bang.
Oh, really?
This doesn't happen anymore because they're not pulling cheap tricks into the sausages they make.
Huh.
But that used to be the case.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
yep. Bangers. Another classic British pub dish is called the Plowman's Lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plowman's Lunch. And you think about it, you're like, oh, that's so rustic. That's exactly what farmers used to eat. You know, it's a cold meal. It's bread, butter, cheese, a beer, maybe some jam or chutney, cold pickled onions or other pickles. Mm. And you're like, oh, wow, how rustic. That's how a real farmer ate.
Yeah.
And it's very British. Someone pointed this out on Twitter. They're like, if it's any cool invention I learned from Good Job Brain, it's either came from a war, it was debuted at a World's Fair, or it was part of a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Plowman's Lunch was
marketing ploy.
Yeah.
No real actual farmer actually ate this type of a dish.
Hmm.
So there was a BBC program called Balderdash and Piffle, and they they had evidence by some of the former staff of the Milk Marketing Board. They basically found documents uncovered at the National Archive of the Milk Marketing Board that the Plowman's Lunch was invented as a ploy to sell British cheese in pubs.
Mm.
So they kind of make up this dish around it. Like,
it's traditional.
It's traditional. It's what our good old farmers ate.
Of the people,
Don Draper giving the presentation.
Just trying to sell you some cheese.
When you think of a plowman.
Simple man sitting in a field. He opens his box. There's bread. There's cheese. He thinks of his wife.
It's lunch.
Yeah, it's lunch.
It's lunch.
Simple lunch.
It's a plowman's lunch.
Yeah.
That's very good. Sold.
You're like, hmm, this sounds delicious.
Single tier.
Yeah.
Thinks of its wife. And last food item, very popular in pubs, Cornish pasty. Mm-hmm. Not pasty.
Not pasty.
Cornish
pasty.
That's a nipple cover.
Right. Yeah.
Cornish pasty. Pretty basic.
If somebody's giving out free pasties on the street, ask, make what sure kind? What they mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
how to pronounce it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
A pasty is like a pastry, basically. It's a handheld pie.
Yep.
Like a meat pie that's folded over, and you can eat it with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say, oh, it's the Cornish pasty. Funny thing, Cornish pasty was awarded a protected geographical indication status by the EU Commission. What does this mean?
You can't call it a Cornish pasty unless it's made in Cornland.
Cornwall.
Sure.
just like champagne.
Right.
You can't call something champagne if it's not made.
Gorgonzola,
Parmesan, mm-hmm. Reggiano. You cannot call anything that is Cornish pasty if it's not made or fabricated in Cornwall.
Mm.
You can buy it there and then heat it up somewhere else.
That's fine.
That's
yeah,
fine.
You're right.
But it has to, you know, they have seals, a lot of legal kind of protection over that item.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's a meat pie,
sure.
But you just can't call it that. So there you go. Some 411 on some pup food faves.
All right.
Hmm.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think when we play, the only thing more frustrating than not knowing the answer is the, we've had this one before. What was it?
Right.
And frequently we'll get it wrong two or three times in a row.
That's the worst.
It is the worst.
Especially when you put down the wrong answer that you put down the time before.
you can't remember.
Yeah. It's like, well, this is either the right answer or the wrong answer. The same wrong answer.
So in the spirit of prepping for things that may come up, I want to talk about states. And we get a lot of questions about states and state trivia. Like at the top of the show, Karen, the only state with a one-syllable name. You know, that one's fairly simple, I suppose.
You can figure it out.
Yeah. Process of elimination, eventually you'll figure that one out.
Yep.
So, Karen, you asked on part one of this episode the first state to join the union, which was Delaware. And the last state to join the union was Hawaii.
Yep.
These kind of things come up a lot. We get questions about borders. You know, this is a good one. Do you guys know the only state that borders one other state? Exactly one other state?
The only state that borders exactly one other state.
That's right.
Maine?
Maine borders New Hampshire. Yep, that's right. Dana, I think you asked on a previous show, the only state that has no straight lines in the border.
Ooh.
Oh.
Someone asked this
Hawaii.
One. It is Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. A moment's reflection.
Should,
yes, yes. We get the state quarters come up a lot.
Man. All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. There'd be a picture of the back of the state quarter.
That's right.
Yep. What state?
That's right. Fill in the state. Mm-hmm. I've had some of those questions before. We've been asked what are the four states that are technically commonwealths?
Yeah.
Kentucky,
yes.
Rhode Island.
No.
Texas.
No.
Virginia.
Oh. Yes. Kentucky, Virginia.
Massachusetts.
And Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Are the four commonwealths, yes,
yeah.
In our great, great union.
Wait,
that
say
we
it
have.
Again.
Kentucky, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Virginia.
Yeah. Oh,
and Rhode Island is like Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
That's
right.
It's full.
Like
it's full, right. It's full in legal name,
yeah.
Right. Ones that we get a lot, though, are about the order of the first 13 colonies that they became states. And, you know, frequently it'll be embedded in a question. Say, you know, this 10th state leads the nation in production of whatever. And if you happen to know the 10th state, then great. Then you got the answer right there.
Sure.
So I got tired of us missing these all the time. So I have created a mnemonic for us to remember.
Okay, all right.
Not only the first 13 states, the original 13 colonies, but the order in which they were accepted to the Union.
Wow.
I'm ready. Okay.
So just very quickly, here are the 13 in order. Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, and Rhode Island.
You lost me at three.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, lucky for you, Karen, I have assembled an absurd mnemonic that I hope will help us all remember this. Okay. It's going to help me remember.
Okay.
So here we go. And sort of the framing device for my little mnemonic here is about some nefarious
excited.
Couple named George and Mary. All right.
You're really excited.
Here we go. Depend on Jerky George to con the masses. So that's Delaware, Pennsylvania, on Jerky George, New Jersey and Georgia, to con the masses, Connecticut and Massachusetts. Okay, halfway through.
Depend on Jerky George to con the masses.
Yeah, that's kind of, rolls off. Yeah, you can think of, you know, maybe George Costanza, if it helps you, the Jerky George. Yeah. All right, here we go, second half. Mary's scams harm virgin Yorkies, not carnal rhinos.
Mary's scams harm virgin Yorkies, not carnal rhinos.
Maryland. South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Okay.
Harm New Hampshire. So I've dropped off the news.
Okay.
Jerky, New Jersey.
Okay.
Harm New Hampshire.
Okay.
Harm virgin Yorkies.
Virginia, New York.
Not carnal rhinos.
North Carolina.
And Rhode Island. Yeah, so we get the the rhino, R-H-I.
So, from the top. Yes.
Depend on Jerky George to con the masses.
Con the masses.
Mary's scams harm virgin Yorkies, not carnal rhinos. Fantastic.
Wow. George and Mary running scams
all
up and down the eastern seaboard.
There's some, like, bestiality.
Yeah.
You have, like, not just normal Yorkies. Virgin Yorkies.
And carnal
and
rhinos.
If you would like to use those as band names, the Virgin Yorkies and the carnal rhinos,
for
you know what? Have at it.
Not the Carl Reiners.
Yeah.
Carnal rhinos. Maybe you could just replace it with Carl Reiner. Not Carl Reiner.
I feel confident that I will remember this,
at least.
Like, this one is now cemented in my mind.
Yes.
Hopefully, together, we can remember this one. And, of course, we will put this up on our mnemonic archive on goodjobbrain.com. Jerky George.
Jerky George. Depend on Jerky George to con the masses. Mary scams harm virgin Yorkies, not carnal rhinos.
Boom.
That's well, I mean, I know it
that
now.
Was a dramatic, like, audible book reading.
Yeah.
That was very good.
We got to get into the spirit of it.
Yeah. It's all very, right. like a pulp, detective pulp.
Yep.
Novel.
If we can help just one quiz team answer one question.
About one state.
About one virgin Yorkie.
Mm-hmm. Our work here is done. So here are some other things that are handy to study, especially, you know, obviously this is an audio podcast, so it's hard to do visuals, because we do, in a lot of trivia leaks, they do have, like, a handout round with pictures of people and you have to identify them. We suck at old actresses. Mm. Classic Hollywood.
Yeah. We always put down the wrong person.
We always do.
Joan Crawford, we've started
Joan
to get good at.
Yeah. Because she's very distinct.
Mommy Dearest.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe. Yeah.
It's like once it gets into, like, Jane Mansfield and, like,
Bridget
Rita
Bardot,
Hayworth.
Yeah, you're right.
We've missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, because we always get mixed up with Sophia Loren.
I feel like Sophia Loren we get right more often than not, just because she's got that distinctive look. But they all kind of blend together there.
Yeah.
This is not really a hint for how to do well on public speaking so much as it
is
just a commiseration session for
us.
Yeah,
but also actresses.
It helps if you have someone who knows this stuff. If you never watch those movies, you just probably don't know.
Yeah.
That's one of our biggest weak points. Another thing that we sometimes do okay on, but usually not so well, is classical music composers. I can usually name the famous ones, and that's sometimes enough. So if you have time, listen to more of the famous Vivaldi, Four Seasons, Spring, some of the Beethoven noted ones, Mozart noted ones, Haydn noted ones.
They don't do
ones.
A lot of deep cuts
no,
for the, yeah.
But like they would play Pomp and Circumstance. You're like, everybody knows Pomp and Circumstance, but who composed it? It was Elgar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that stuff is a little tough. And there's also, speaking of music, old Motown bands. Not that we don't know them. We get them mixed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Platters versus the Temptations versus the Four Tops versus...
I think that's the OJ's. Big one, yeah. Is the Temptations versus Four Tops. Mm-hmm. Like, that one... Yeah. Yeah.
Build Me Up Buttercup. You came up with a mnemonic, Chris?
Wait. Build Me Up Buttercup. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the Foundations, yes, right? Because you build starting from the Foundations. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
That's the one. That's, we only have one.
Well, no, the car wash is Rolls Royce or Rose Royce.
Rose Royce.
Like the car.
Yeah, like the car. Yeah.
I generally try and remember. I mean, we've memorized them outright, but between the Temptations and Four Tops, like the Four Tops tend to be more of like kind of the shout singing songs, whereas Temptations are a little more melodic.
It's funny you say that because I actually did go to the Four Tops and Temptations concert, and I was like,
that doesn't
mom,
help at all.
And I was like, this time I'm gonna know. And then I was like, oh man, they all blurred together.
But at least, when you hear a song and you're like, oh, that was at that concert. We've got it narrowed down to one of two groups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the end of our part two, how to prep for pub quiz. Lots of stuff to process, but, you know.
So much to take in.
It is a lot. Yeah. I mean, this is like summarizing years and years and
we
years.
We don't know anything else. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. It's random.
Just
it's
here trivia. And there. Yeah. Just catch as catch can, really.
Yep. And you can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website. Good job, Brain. Thanks for our sponsor, Audible. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Calling all trivia nerds, Brittany here, and I host the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast with my best friend, Meredith. Is your next car ride looking like a snooze fest? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of awesome trivia every week. Harry Potter, Disney, science, sports, you name it. No more silent car troubles. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Connect, laugh, and learn with your kids, big and small. New episodes every week wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast.